You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, it's Series 9, Episode 26 coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. This time last week, we were coming to you off the crest of a wave after Shelburne's win in Croatia. Unfortunately, this week, more of a downbeat tone about the podcast after Shell's dramatic defeat against Rijeka last night in Tolka Park. So they'll drop into the Conference League playoff stage now, where they'll take on either Vikingur from the Faroes or Linfield once again. So look, they've still got a big chance, but Gary, it was a real, you know what I'm going to say, typical Irish heartbreak story in Europe last night. One of them hard luck stories, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the way to describe it. Another hard luck story. We gave them a good game and, you know, it's like anytime the Irish rugby team lose, you know, it's we played out of our skin and all the rest of it. I thought those Shells probably left a lot of it behind them in a way. I'm not saying like with chances created, but I thought they were a bit flat.
Yeah, and like Joey O'Brien spoke before the game that he didn't want them to sit in and try and defend what they had because he felt that brings problems in itself. But he was talking about playing on the front foot. They were, yeah, like there was times when they got the ball in the final third and I was like, right, play that into Meepo now or you know, do something positive. And it was always a backwards pass and a lot of the attacks just kind of fizzled out. And look, at the end of the day, Rijeka scored two absolute bangers, two worldies. Now, the third one probably wasn't overly well defended from Shells across from a wide area and kind of they're a bit passive in the box and don't get the first contact on it. But I mean, the three finishes really were very, very clinical. But if they had it back, they probably would approach it in a slightly different manner.
I think so. I think they were, I don't know if it was nervousness or something else, but it was definitely a reservation that they had in them. Like some of the defending, it was very much pull on it and get it out of there. Do you know what I mean? And then you look up at the clock and it's 57 minutes gone or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's, I think there was definitely a feeling that maybe Rijeka could, we're seeing this and going, right, we have these boys in the ropes. They feel under pressure, even if they're not under major pressure. But like first goal, what a finish. I think that was better than the second one, to be honest. Like the way he just pulled on it in a good way.
Yeah, because I was the same as the commentators, actually. When I looked at it first, I thought the touch leading up to it was a fluke. I didn't realise the lad had actually laid it off to him. When you see the replay from the reverse angle, it's a lovely little flick up to his teammate who hits it on the volley. It's a great goal. And then the second one is just an absolute rip-roaring shot as well. But I think the biggest problem for Shelburne was at times when they did kind of try and progress up the pitch and they had Meepo making the runs in behind, they tried to play the ball over the top. And they were leaving it short constantly onto the head of the big centre-half. Like, you have to overhit those instead of underhit them.
Well, exactly. And there was one point where I was like, oh, why is this ball going short? And Meepo, like, threw up the hands and he was pointing.
He was very frustrated. Yeah.
Yeah, he was very frustrated, is right. And I could see, obviously, you could see why. Like, if that was the tactic to, like, make them turn and face their own goal and put them under pressure in that sense, it was very poorly executed. There was no real opportunity for Meepo to get in behind too often. Just on Meepo, I'm not sure he's long for Shelburne, to be quite honest.
Really? Why is that?
The vibes aren't there for me. I find it hard to put my finger on it, but I just don't see, I don't think Meepo's their man. To be quite honest,
I had zero faith in him scoring the penalty.
So did I.
I was almost proven right. Like I was watching it ourselves and the big VAR pause, and we were like, oh, come on, give it. And then as soon as it was given, I turned to her and said, you know what? He's not even going to score this. He'll miss it. I guarantee you he'll miss it. And it's one of the worst struck penalties you'll see. And lucky enough, the keeper makes an absolute horlicks of it. But Look, we all know he has issues with his finishing, but I think in defence of Meepo, the pace he gives them, the runs he makes in behind, the work he does off the ball, I think that's been a huge asset for Shelburne in Europe. But there's definitely areas, big areas of his game that need significant improvement.
Certainly does. I'm not sure.
I think he's probably Marmite for a lot of people.
Yeah, but like a striker isn't Marmite if he's scoring 25 goals in a season.
Who's doing that in Ireland?
Yeah, nobody. But like there's Marmite. Oh, I think a player is good and he's bad. And what does he offer? And the intangibles. Like, let's say with a striker.
Would he remind you of Darwin Nunez a bit in that sense? Like, particularly with the finishing.
Oh, would you stop? I don't pay any attention to any of that shite. I don't give it. Well,
It's back this way. Football is back.
Yeah, so I hear. But I'm not sure. It's just in those moments, you know, I blew in the face talking about keepers and stuff like that. I don't think he digs you out. Like even the goal that he got, it was knocked down to him by Boyd.
Linfield.
Yeah. But that goal occurred within 3 minutes of Boyd coming on.
Yeah, they're not the same. I always say they're not the same without Boydie up there.
Yeah, exactly. But like there will be times, and as we've seen, Boyd will either be suspended or injured.
Mm.
And Meepo has to step in. And I just don't think he's able for it certainly right now. On the game, I thought the defending was quite poor.
It's great drama though. I'd say great TV, but unless you were watching it on LOI TV, it wasn't on TV as such. We I don't know, do we want to bother going down that old rabbit hole or not? But
no, I don't.
It was gripping TV, like
it was very enjoyable. And particularly like with the length of time it took for the VAR decision to be made.
Was it a penalty?
Yeah.
By the letter of the law, I suppose.
That's what we're here for.
When I saw it first, I was like, no way, that was a penalty. But then there was that angle where you could see there was the jersey extending out. So by the letter of the law, yeah, it is a penalty. It was a silly thing for the defender to do because I don't think he was ever getting there, John Martin, to be honest. But
what a cross again, though, from Harry Wood. Absolutely sensational stuff. But he made them turn towards their own goal and they made that mistake. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
I thought Mbeng was quality again. Thought he put some good balls in as well.
Absolutely. Very, very good. You know,
nearly scored the winner.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was a tough one.
It was. Yeah. Hard to get out of his feet.
But I think overall, it's disappointing. But in the manner the winning goal for them is what's worse. Like, I think it was said on commentary that it was the right back that scored. You know, get on top of the lad. Do you know what I mean? How is a lad take, you know, a couple of touches in the box and no one really laying a hand on him? And that's the penalty that Shelburne have to pay. So.
Do you know what I've only considered now as well? I didn't even think about this last night. Just as we're chatting here, it's making the wheel spin in the old head. The goal last week to give away, the keeping mistake, the penalty. How costly has that been now in the end?
Yeah, well, look, everything is costly. You're punished for stuff. You know, got a penalty last night. Made hay from that. So I suppose you can even them out. But
I think you said it last week, though. We probably both said it. Like it's the typical, it's the cliche Irish goal to concede in Europe. Many times, goalkeepers in particular doing stuff like that.
Countless times. Gary Rogers, as much as you love him.
I know, you were dying to mention him now.
Honest to God. It's uncountable, the amount of mistakes. And there's been plenty of others as well down through the years. It's just...
Last season, the Rovers keeper, Brian Maher, that was this season, wasn't it? In the Conference League itself, in one of his first games, remember he came out and he kind of
ran out.
He kind of tried to punch it or kick it, and he didn't either. And who was it they were playing in the knockouts? Malda scored an early goal in Tala. Ended up being quite costly.
Yes. But you're going to have all of that stuff going on. It's just in those knockout stages or in the playoffs where, you know, you make your hay It seems to be a recurring theme for Irish goalkeepers, which is unfortunate. But
who would it be better that they face in the next round, the Faroes team or Linfield again? Are we better to stay away from that All Ireland tie? Maybe try something different. Or do they know they're a better team than Linfield? And
geez, did they know that?
I think they are a better team than Linfield.
Mm.
I know the game in Windsor could have gone horribly wrong, but the game in Talca, I know Linfield went up and sat in there, but they should have been beating them by more than one that night.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Are they going to be able to beat them 3 or 4 nil in Talca and then, you know, have something to hold on to going up there? I think it might be easier to go to Iceland, you know, fresh slate, like there'll be no...
The Faroes.
Or wherever, sorry. And go, right, we're not looking for Linfield to go, oh, we can get one back on these lads.
Mm.
We're after getting a second bite of them in such a short space of time. You know, it could be 15 years before they play each other next.
Yeah.
So they get a chance to recover from your earlier mess up in Linfield's eyes.
Yeah.
It would be an opportunity. So probably the best to stay away from them. And plus they would have thought they'd be just out of pre-season. Or...
Yeah, they'll have come on from the last
major time, yeah. Majorly, yeah. So, you know, they'll be down on the kebab counter each week, so they'll be able to, they'll be able to maybe get one over. And just actually on the kebab, I said,
yeah, lots of tweets.
Yeah, well, we're letting the side down. We're not going, you know,
Frally's kind of skipping ahead. I think it's in the hotline section, but we better get the listener's name that they kicked this all off. Let me just load up the old.
Well, we'll go back to it later.
We'll go to it while we're here. Pat Mitchell, disappointed not to see the return of the BTS kebab review after recent visits to Castlebar and Dundalk. Will we see a new addition after the trip to Talla? So, you know me, guys. I'm usually one. Any minor achievement in my life at all, it's on every platform of social media going. But
if you have a solid day of shitting, it's on your socials.
It's on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn as well. But when I came back from my holidays in January from the Canaries, I decided, right, I'm in a bad shape here. I need to do something about it. So I knuckled down, put the head down, went to a PT for a few months, and I've been in the gym for a few months now. And I said, right, I'm not going to boast about this. I'm
You're just a shithouse.
Going to go about my business quietly, and I'm down 2 stone. And a lot of people saying to me, "Jez, you look great, Burko. You're doing well. Fair play. Keep it up." So I've been just trying to keep it under wraps. Haven't been eating the kebabs. So for me, Pat, I don't think there'll be a kebab review returning. Although, Gaz, the last time we were in Tally, you brought me to a very, very nice spot now. And it felt a little bit healthier than your average kebab. So maybe I could be swayed.
Oh, that place is unbelievable. Like, it's where you're in Istanbul going there.
Do you know the name of it, no?
Backstroke Kebab. I think it's under new management, but I think he's still there.
There's this mythical creature
called Baxter, and he's done a few. He used to be in a big place in Dublin City, then he went to another place, and then he opened his own place. And like lads would follow him. You know what I mean? You know the way like lads that get fades in their hair every 2 days,
yeah,
and they'd follow the barber that does their fade. Well, there's people that follow this lad, and he is an operator, so we might go back there. But I did actually have a kebab after the game against the Dundalk.
Oh, where did you go?
I went to the Roma.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I know they're not famous for their kebabs.
No.
It's
good.
Yeah, I was good now. I got the mixed donor.
Yeah.
Our pedigree chum, Maxi, also got one. He probably doesn't remember having it, but it was very good fare, and we both cleaned our plates.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah, if you're looking for a good chipper kebab, not kebab,
mm-hmm.
The Roma is the place to go. Yeah, I was very happy with that. There's another couple of places. Zamzams or
no, stay away. No.
Okay, is there another good place in the
there's nearly too many to go through, but Zamzams, no. No, not good.
That's a big no.
No.
Stay away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roma.
The Roma. Okay.
from the Roma to Rovers. They were beaten 1-0 in Kosovo by Balkani on Thursday night. I think that was a result that maybe surprised a few people. I went online after, and a lot of people were scathing at the Shamrock Rovers' performance. I didn't think it was that bad. I think they tried to do what we had kind of been asking for on the pod last week. Go out there, keep it tidy, keep it clean. Now, the goal to give away is not great. And they had to weather a little bit of a 5-minute storm after that. Balkani's tails were up and they were searching for a second. But Rovers almost dug it out with a late equaliser. Keeper made a good save in injury time. I think most people still make Rovers favourites to progress. Obviously, they would have rather come home with been on par or ahead. But I think most people have a quiet confidence Rovers will still do it tomorrow night as we're talking here.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, that'll be a big, wake-up call, you'd imagine. You're looking at different...
Excuse me.
You're all right. Would it be it'd be relatively catastrophic if they don't get through. Would that be a fair statement?
It'd be disappointing. I wouldn't say catastrophic. It's not up there with Magpies knocking out Derry and those type of results, but it'd be very, very disappointing. I think a lot of people genuinely want to see Rovers playing Santa Clara. Not a top Portuguese team, but from one of the top European leagues. How would they match up? I think a lot of people would be intrigued to see that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It would be definitely interesting to
keep the dream alive of two Irish teams in the groups.
Yeah, well, that'd be lovely. I think they just have to go and do it. I just can't look past some of the quality individuals that they have. Obviously,
and I don't know, were you watching the game? I'm not sure whether it was behind closed doors or whether everyone was kind of this side of the camera, but it was played in a real dead atmosphere, big old stadium with a running track around it and just shite atmosphere. Even it was very hard to watch, when there's no atmosphere, I was like, ugh, nearly reminds me of COVID football. I nearly turned it off, but I just kept watching out of pig ignorance. And I didn't think they weren't outclassed or anything like that. I think we'll see a different Rovers in the home leg, to be honest.
Absolutely. And what do you make of the Jack Byrne?
Yeah, that was next on the notes there. You're probably delighted, are you? Because I think you've been kind of in the I'm not a big Jack Byrne man fan club over the last few years on this podcast. You've nearly been afraid to say it.
Well, I wouldn't say afraid. I definitely back my own shite up. But, I don't know. I just don't see it. I know he's good and he's decent or whatever, but playing 15 yards ahead of his own box, spraying passes out to the right back and the left back and maybe a couple of passes here and there or he hits them out with the right outside of the boot or whatever. I don't see enough game run. I don't think he's near the level of, Graham Burke or anything like that. And I don't think he's been at that level for a while.
The issue I would have is so what we're led to believe is there was a falling out. They were doing the on pitch training stuff before the Derry game, and he obviously realised I'm not starting, and there was a fallout. I don't think he's been consistent enough in terms of games played.
Thank you.
To be demanding of I should be first name on the team sheet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly with players like Mahili coming in there this season and been so impressive.
Yeah. Like a neck like a jockey's bollocks here. What's he going on about? He didn't play. How much did he play last year?
Hold on now. My internet is very interesting.
That's all right. He started half the games this year. And has come on as a sub in another lock of them as well. 2 goals, 7 assists, which is fairly impressive for the length of time that he's played. I think about half the minutes as well, according to Transfermarkt. So it's who are you? I'm not saying that it's like one of those egots of Football Manager, 17-year-old looking to start the Champions League final. But you're clearly not the main man or anymore. Do you know what I mean? If you're starting that number of games and all the rest of it. So maybe that's a bit overly harsh or something like that, but as you mentioned, like Matt Healy been a really consistent performer. Jack Byrne was injured last year as well. There was times like you forget that Jack Byrne even existed last year.
Yeah, like Dylan Watts was the man last
season. Oh, God, yeah. He was class. Jesus, Dylan, he was absolutely brilliant.
Like, I'm just looking at the last game he was involved in was the game away to Sligo, which they drew 2-2. And, like, the middle three that day was Healy, Mandreou, and Watts, Burke and Gaffney up front, and Honahan and Grant, the wing-backs. Like, that's a quality team. It's very hard to argue that, oh, there's one player that should definitely be in there.
Yeah. But by saying that, you're taking out someone.
I'm sure in recent times, Graham Burke has probably felt I should be, and Mandreou have probably felt, you know, I should be starting every game. But they're not. That's the depth that Shamrock Rovers have. So I think I'd have to be with Stephen Bradley on this, to be honest.
Well, what did he say?
Well, the fact he's left him out of the squad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mad, I thought Bradley was talking pure ring last week and now he's the greatest son in the world. Mad how that changes. But I agree with him. But also, I think...
Maybe Jack Byrne said that what you said about the First Division clubs was a disgrace.
Yeah, pure bollocks, lad. Who are you? but I will say one thing. Bradley, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, a new manager came in there.
Yeah.
It's not like Lynch was saying Derry.
Yeah.
And you have someone like, you know, that's been playing with Derry for years. It's like, who do you think you are leaving me out? Bradley has been at a very, very long time. And whatever
he has backed it up with the medals.
Well, he's yet to win a double. Unfortunately, this won't be his year either. But he can look down as no, not, I'm not saying that he is, but like he can, you know, look down at you and go, who are you, lad? Do you know what I mean? Because Jack Burton was not sent away, but like he was, you know, sent off to Cyprus or wherever he went at that time. So like, Shamrock Rovers have lived okay when Jack Byrne left, and you know he was a big operator back then. It was a big deal and all the rest of it. So, I think Bradley was 100% right. I wouldn't be putting up with any of that. Like. It's not as if, I know he's got like 2 goals, 7 assists, or whatever. Like, if he was walking around with 15 goals this season,
yeah,
fine, but not for a bloke that has started half the games in the league. Go away with that.
As for Pat's totally outclassed against Besiktas, I'll
tell you one thing,
I go on.
Simon Power is some player.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. On Besiktas, like. Even though I was obviously want the Pats to do well, I really enjoyed watching them the other day. Like, that was a completely different level of football. It was like PlayStation football. Uh-huh. I'd struggle to remember the last time a League of Ireland team played a team like that in a qualifier. I know, like, Rovers played Chelsea last year and all the rest, but, like, they were just different gravy and talent the other night, Besiktas.
Yeah, they're probably one of the... in a qualifying stage... Didn't Rovers play AC Milan? Was that in a qualifier?
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, that was in COVID. But
they only won 1-0, 2-0, I think it was.
I think it was 2-0.
Rovers acquitted themselves really well, whereas like Besiktas there, I'd say if they wanted to go for more, they easily could have.
Oh yeah, no, there's what Besiktas did the other night is, you know, it was almost completely fatal. Like, it was absolutely just so nice to watch, like some of the passing, the confidence. But then again, like, you know, whoever was commentating mentioned, it was like, oh, João Mário played for West Ham and all of these like other teams, and he's not even the top.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, there's just some sensational players in that squad, and I suppose it was nearly like, oh, the longest yard or some of that type of tat, where like they just could have done anything they wanted and it would have came off. I'd say it was a real, it would have been nice to be on the pitch, you know, to see that in front of you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, when you're up against, you know, played against a few League of Ireland players in my time, and you're like, Jesus Christ, like, how are they so fast? So like, you imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, it's just different levels of class. Hopefully tomorrow night, Thursday won't be.
Hopefully they take it handy.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So I'd appreciate that. But I really like Simon Power. Just want to get that on the record.
We're about to go into the domestic stuff now anyway, so you can tell us more about Simon Power shortly, because I know you were at Richmond on Sunday. But we'll just run through the results. Drogheda United 0, Waterford 0, Derry City 0, Cork City 0. I suppose we'll take these one by one. So let's start with Derry and Cork City, because that was kind of a, I'd nearly say a wow moment, but it wasn't either. Like, how many times have Derry City done this in the past?
Yeah, they're staying on the mark. Very disappointing result. Particularly like when you know, they had a bit of a lack of pressure on them, because Rovers were had to head down to Galway.
Mm.
So you knew that they were going to get, even though as bad as Galway are right now, you knew they were in for a tough night. And it goes back to the same shit we saw all last year with Derry. Anytime anybody makes a hames of it, they do the exact same or worse.
Yeah.
And it's not great that to play a team like Cork at home in the state that Cork are in and not get 3 points is
well, look, we said it last week on the pod, they're as far away now as they ever were from winning it. This is further proof of that. But for Cork, there's actually been signs of improvement the last couple of weeks. If they hadn't conceded that late goal and if the ball had gone in off the crossbar against Sligo, like, they could be right up Sligo's arse now. It's a real, that goal they conceded against Sligo, it just took away any hope they had. But credit to them, they've actually rolled the sleeves up the last few weeks and put on a few decent shows.
Yeah, but I still think it's fatal where
they're, yeah, they're gone. Yeah.
But you know, it'll tart it up, and you know, it'll give some false hope. But yeah, no, they're not good. And like, even like, I'm looking at the stats here of that game, and there's XG and all sorts of shit. Like, so, like, I don't know how real this is, but like, the XG for Derry, and I'm saying this as an anti-stat man, true and true, but how do they have 1.36 expected goals against Cork? What's that about? Do you know what I mean? Like, 13 shots, 2 on target, 72% possession. Like, I know exactly who had 80% of that 72%. Mark Connolly, pissing around the back, passing around the place. It seems like I have it out for Mark Connolly. I don't. But like, what? How does that happen? You know, and even to get 3 yellow cards against them. How do you get 3 yellow cards with 72% of the ball? What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's. I just don't get it. I don't know how they end up in this position. But it seems to be getting, as I do bullshit on all the time about Real Madrid and their pedigree. There seems to be a shit pedigree coming in here, and you know, not being able to turn over teams that Rovers just turn over as if it was a pendulum. It's just going to swing back and forward. Get out of my way, I'm going to do it. And Derry don't seem to have that. And you know, I thought did you see the tweet that the admin put up?
Yeah,
5 more minutes of this. It's like, the admin, God bless him, like, he was looking for the full-time whistle. He wasn't thinking, oh, we might push and get a goal here, get a late winner against a shit team and get out of jail. He was looking for it to be over. And I'd say he wasn't the only one. It's not good enough. And people go on about my hatred of Derry and, oh, they got bet asunder, but they played well. I don't care. It's not good enough.
Are you done?
Yeah,
it's off your chest.
Well, plenty more to vent on Derry, but like, for the minute, like, you know, what the, oh, I don't, I just don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know. I don't know. And it's definitely not win a league anyway.
Yeah.
Definitely not that.
Draw to Waterford. Turns out Vinnie Perth was right. Puke football.
Did you go to this game?
No. I was watching it on the stream.
All right. Yeah, to be honest, bad, is it?
Yeah. Desperate.
All right. That's all we need to say about that.
Not much more to say on that. Shell 2, Bows 2. This was actually a belter. This was an old-fashioned Dublin derby. Now, I only really got watching the first half live because then I was tipping in to obviously commentate on the Longford game. But first half, 1-1, 8 yellow cards, proper tackles flying in. I text our friend Fitz and I said, you'd love this game because we know how much he goes on about, oh, I love a proper tackle.
Yeah.
Proper tackles in this one. A great atmosphere as well. It was a really good watch.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to see some of it, but I was, as you mentioned there, I was setting up the stream, so I was only kind of listening to the shite, or listening to the commentary. It wasn't really paying that close of attention to it. Great start for Shells, obviously. Early goal. But yeah, they were pegged back, and to all fair result, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah, especially after the high of the Shells had out in Croatia and coming back and then getting a point against Bows. They've had difficulties with Bows in Talca Park in recent years. Like, they weren't always. I remember I was at that game a couple of years ago when, what's your man's name that went to Belgium?
Oh, yes, the striker. It'll come to me.
Yeah, he got an equaliser. So. It's never handy. So probably a fair result, but
elsewhere, Galway nil, Rovers nil. You kind of touched on this. Even though Galway are going through a tough spell, you felt it'd still be tough for Rovers. I think they've had to score a few late goals up there in recent years. There was no late goal this time. Before the game, or I think it was the day before, it was announced that unfortunately Ollie Horgan stepped away from his position at Galway, and we all wish Ollie the very, very best. But John Daly has come in there. What do you make of that as an appointment? How will that work as a dynamic, Daly and Caulfield, do you feel?
Probably never really encountered enough of John Daly to know what he's like, to be able to even surmise what he might be like as a number two.
Well, I obviously came across him a good bit at Dundalk last year, and I always thought he carried himself very well in what was a desperate circumstances. He was the man that was there when they literally were a couple of hours from going to the wall, and there was other horrible stuff going on off the pitch at the time as well. And I always thought he carried himself and the players really well. Now, a lot of Dundalk fans would have some reservations about some of the decisions he made.
Yeah, but you're like, you have to try something. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
he's probably, I don't know if this is unfair or not, but like, he's probably garnered a bit of a reputation for not playing the prettiest of football. So that's obviously not a high on the list of priorities at Galway. So he might fit in well there.
And is that, do you think that's a result of his time with Pats or Pats?
Both, yeah.
Not gone on that idea. I suppose the strangest thing was he was happy to get out of Dundalk, apart from them being shite and getting relegated. He wasn't it a big thing that he wanted to go back to Scotland?
Well, his family was still in the UK, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a bit of a strange one.
I was surprised to see him come back, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, especially to Galway. Like, he's going to be flying into, what's that airport out in?
I suppose Knock is the closest, is it?
One of the airport out in Galway.
All right.
Don't know if that flies anywhere, though. Like to Scotland or anywhere else. Anyway, that's his problem. But it was just a surprise to see him come back, because I do remember that line that he was kind of happy to go back with the family and you know, do all that palaver. So I think that was a strange one. It seemed, and maybe in a way, it seems like Galway or John Caulfield or someone made contact with him. You know what I mean? You know, or like this was done.
Well, someone had to ask him. He hardly just arrived. Well, lads, I'm your new number two.
I know that, but was it John Caulfield? Is like, I really rated John Daly. I like XYZ about him and the way he played. Ring him up, get him over here. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't really tracked him after he left.
Yeah, I know. I know they're doing a presser before the Salt Hill game, so maybe there'll be some questions about how John is rocked up there and that. So we'll see. But
well, why don't you go and ask them bloody questions?
Because I'm busy man. But on this, look, it's actually not a bad result at all for probably either side, because Sligo, as you know, you went to this game, were beaten comprehensively on Sunday, but there was red card controversy, as there so often is in this league.
Yeah, well,
and we're going to be talking about cards later on, aren't we? We'll hold that back for now. You've been digging, doing the numbers.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but thanks very much.
I didn't see much of this game. Was 3-0 a fair reflection, or did the red card totally ruin the game?
I don't know if it ruined the game. Yes, actually, I'd say it did. Sorry. I really don't rate Pats. I thought Melia was poor in the first half, quite poor. He throws himself on the ground a lot.
You've said that a good bit.
Yeah. He was doing it again. So the ref didn't fall for it by and large, which I was happy with. He just needs to man up. Really, you know, he's going over to Spurs in January or whenever.
Spurs have just bottled the Super Cup, by the way.
All right, great.
2-0 up, lost on pens.
Lovely. Do you want to take a break? Do you need time to compose yourself, Berko? Do you?
Oui.
I think, So he needs to cop himself on. Then again, he scored 2 goals. He did miss a couple of chances that he should have done a lot better with. He gets the header and then gets the kind of goes around the keeper. The incidents, it definitely wasn't a red card. It was a terrible decision. Barely a foul, I would say. And then even if the ref deems it to be a foul, there's cover there immediately. So terrible decision there. For Mulroney's goal, there's a lot of talk about handball. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
So the ball is kind of tripped through by Chris Forrester. Might come on to him later.
You just got a hit list this week. You're a little
I do have a shit list. Yeah. But lovely ball in by Forrester. Really lovely stuff. And it's in the, you know, what they call it, the zone of uncertainty, and the defender's running back, Matt trying to match him, Mulroney, the keeper's coming out. They kind of take each other out and Mulroney's able to tap it in. It did look like handball. I've seen a few screenshots later on and it looked very, very like handball. But at that pace and the ball, you know, it's probably 30 or 40 yards of a pass. Very hard for the ref to see, very hard for the linesman to see. No one was really calling for it. So I wouldn't be too harsh on that. But I suppose if you're a Sligo fan after coming all the way from Sligo on a lovely Sunday day and you're seeing a red card that should have never been a red card after seeing Sargent getting sent off last week or the week before, you're like, Jesus Christ, this is bullshit. So I can see their point, but I thought Pats were decent enough, and especially with the red card, they were helped. Yeah, I thought Sligo kind of might have edged certainly the first half an hour. I thought they were quite okay. You know, you obviously have to be mindful of all the individuals that Pats have, so you have to be careful in how you approach a game. So I thought they did that quite well. And then the approach had to change after the red card.
What's your issue with Forrester?
Same issue as I've had for a long time. Doesn't do enough. Not near enough. I don't know. I don't want to say he's past it, and you know, I don't want to say that, but like, just not, don't see it. And I'm not just saying that. I've been saying that for a couple of years though. Do you remember that? What was that game that me and you went to Antalya?
One of the European games, was it? Yeah.
And I was discussing with him then. And I haven't seen enough to undo that out of my brain since that. You know, Same with Jack Byrne, do you know what I mean? Like a few passes from your own half. It just doesn't do it. And forty yard, daisy cutter, worm murder, whatever, you know, over to a lad who doesn't have a against 10 men, you know, who doesn't have a lad beside him for 20 yards, you know, that's nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd say my old lad could do that, you know? So,
Jeez, you're in flying form tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm flying nothing. But, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like this isn't game-changing stuff. And these are the players that we imagine in our brains as game-changers. These are the lads that do the thing that wins the game. And they are not doing anything to win the game. I know that was a great pass. But, again, then again, it was a true ball. He tried it a few other times and didn't come off. So, like, you know, once every 1 in 5 against 10 men. No.
Do you know what will cheer you up?
Starting off the first division by talking about Longford Town.
That's exactly what we're going to do. Longford Town 2, Treaty United 0, leading to plenty of fan unrest online for the away team. What's new? I wouldn't be a fan of clubs themselves, though, limiting their comments. Restricting their comments. Wouldn't be a fan of that.
Take it on the chin, but I suppose there's probably maybe would you take it if it was personal abuse?
No. But like you deal with that as a club. If there is someone that's going over the line and you know who they are, right? Grand, you're not coming to the next game, you're banned.
Go to his house.
the fans that travel down there and spent their money, if they weren't happy with what they saw, they should be able to vent online. Now they still can. They just can't reply to their own club. But
yeah,
it doesn't sit well at a time where there seems to be a disconnect between club and supporter. That's just my perspective looking at what's going on there. I don't know whether Treaty United fans.
We've been saying that for a very long time.
Yeah. And again, a new club that's still trying to probably really firmly establish themselves in the community. It's not the right way to go about it for me.
No, certainly not. Not great, but I don't care. Let's talk about Longford Town.
But again,
in a positive note.
Just one more line on Treaty, and it's probably quite predictable where I'm going with this. Like I've seen a lot of criticism of Tommy Barrett online. Like they're in the top 5 still.
Yeah, they're probably getting to playoffs.
It can't be that bad. Now again, the Treaty fans are watching them every week. I'm not, but. You know, I take where they are right now.
Yeah. I suppose it's a good while since they beat Cove unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Oh,
the form's really dropped off since then. I think it's 1-9 or 1-10.
Yeah, something not ideal like that. Mm. So yeah, fair enough. I can see why they might be annoyed. Their home form. Not too bad. 2 wins in the last 5. But yeah, I suppose if you're looking around your shoulder, looking to see who's coming up into that fifth spot, like to challenge you, you're seeing Wexford and you're like, you can't be worried about them.
No.
So I wouldn't be overly concerned.
I was surprised with the tactics, to be honest. These lads are not, you know, elite footballers or anything, but the big Croatian chap that came on and Hansen, the Canadian chap that comes on, they're big fecking units. And I thought when they went direct up to them boys when they came on, they looked some way half threatening. Now Trippimir falls over as much as he does take it down. He's a very clumsy big man, but
yeah,
he's still a presence and he draws in a couple of defenders. And I was impressed with Patrick Ferry. I think that's a good sign, and he scored 2 goals in his first 3 games before that game the other night. If you had the big man up there, a few nod downs to him. I thought they tried to play too much and maybe don't have the players for that at this moment in time. You think of Treaty in recent years, always very strong at set pieces, you know, and well organized, and just didn't. Looks like they've tried to move away from that a little bit.
Well, their 2 best chances in the game came from set pieces. The header. So maybe they need to double down on that again from a set piece perspective. You know, it could have been a very different game if Ben Lynch, his header didn't hit off the crossbar and hit the back of the net instead, because that was very early on in the game. And then they had another good chance where he was hit again and he heads it across the box and somehow was headed wide.
Yeah.
From about 6 yards.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, moments change games, blah, blah, blah. But also, they probably dropped off after those chances, to be quite honest. There was a couple of saves that Harry Halbach had to make, but...
Yeah, Longford were a bit sleepy in the first kind of 20 minutes and then warmed.
Definitely warmed into it, there's no doubt about it. But look, no point in talking about anything else. Darren Murtagh's goal. Goal of the season in the first division, right?
Well, that's the best goal we've seen, I think, anyway, in Bishopsgate, definitely.
This season. Probably will be some rockets that we're forgetting.
Yeah.
In other games, we'll rely on the league account to tell us about that. But yeah, I thought the if anybody hasn't seen it, go and look at it.
Yeah.
Absolutely sensational goal. The composure, the calmness, the confidence to do all of those things.
He's a good player. He is. I could see him having a future in the game.
Oh, very much so. But I think, like, for a lad that, like, you know, has had to do a lot more work than scoring goals because he's playing for Longford Town at the moment. You know, he has to work extremely hard for probably fewer opportunities that he would have liked.
Yeah. I think it's been recognised. Like, I've spoken to opposition players that have played against him, and they always say, yeah, no, he's definitely got a bit about him. Like, very strong as well for his age.
But yeah, definitely goal of the season. Nailed on. So fair play to him for that.
Now, Kerry FC 0, Finn Harps 1. And I didn't get the result right in the predictions league last week. But you will remember, Gary, that I predicted there would be a red card in this one. And you said you'd give me the bonus point if there was.
Hold on a minute. A bonus point is something extra you get for already being right.
So you're not giving me a bonus point for the red card?
I'll give you a bonus point for the red card, but that's not a bonus.
A consolation bonus point.
Losing bonus point.
Yeah.
Jeez, actually, just for anybody that likes podcasts in addition to our own, there's a very good series on BBC.
Yeah.
Sports Strangers Crimes.
Yeah, I'm a listener.
They have a very good one about match fixing in lower league football in the UK. I'd highly recommend to listen to and not partake in. But definitely there's one about Bloodgate. It's about the...
Harlequins rugby.
That's exactly it, with the blood capsule in the mouth job. Now, you'd have to listen to about 30% of the podcast is going on about how great rugby is and how, like, you know... according to these people, they invented winning and losing and friendship and morals and ethos. Pure pony. But it's actually interesting enough, so I'd highly recommend it. How did he get into that?
We got into it by the red card for...
Oh,
Kerry.
The red card, yes. Okay. Please, sir, can I have a yellow card? Sorry, go on.
Stupid stuff from him. I mean, kind of semi-kicks out at a lad. Like, if you're going to get sent off, you might as well deck a lad than do that, but... What were we tallying up there before? Is that their fifth red card of the season, Kerry? And you I think drew on some comments from Colin Healy there. You wanted to highlight as well.
Yeah, well, he was bitching and moaning about that red card. And
I don't think it was that red card. It was a tackle on Sean McGrath.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I didn't see that tackle. But like, for a team that has consistently had the worst or second to worst.
Well, this season they are bottom of the fair play table this season.
I believe it.
Five reds and 70 something yellows.
Yeah, that's a disgrace. It's something that we like, even like when we're not always keeping track of it, but we feel it. If you know what I mean.
I actually thought they had more than five reds. To be honest, what did I say before we start recording? Is it three reds in their last four games?
Yeah.
Two in one game, and actually you could say more because one of them Reds, there was a coach sent off as well in that time. Mm. So, like, just no discipline whatsoever.
No discipline.
And I know one of them red cards at the start of the season, Joe Adams, was extremely unlucky to be sent off. And like, you're going to get them. But like, at the same time, when you're getting that many red cards.
Brockwell nearly decapitated a lad a couple of weeks ago. Against Dundalk, wasn't it? Was it?
I can't remember.
Yeah. But it was the game that they had two red cards. Your man got... Brockwell got sent off after like 20 minutes or something like that. I come out with the boot. And, you know, nearly takes the lad's head off. I don't know. I would say, you know, if you're looking through the stats, you'd be like, Jesus, yeah, you know, half our team are either getting sent off in a game. Not half our team, but like, lads are getting sent off all the time. They're getting yellow cards all the time. And we're without a heap of lads because of it. Something needs to be done. So it has to be looked at. It's absolutely bizarre, the number of cards. And it's not something that has gone unnoticed. Like, we've often said it, like, after talking about a weekend games.
Well, we looked back earlier. Since they've come into the league, they've always been in the bottom two on the fair play table.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. They're either worse or the worst or next to worst. Something needs to be looked at that. Like, I don't want to hear about, some lad has a boo-boo after a game. Don't want to hear about any of that when your record is like that and you're well-known for being a dirty team. Now, I'll just make one point. Even saying that about Kerry, if you look back at the recent history of, I don't know what happened.
This fixture.
What fixture?
Sorry, go on, finish what you were going to say.
No, I'm just saying that, like, the number of points. So like, it's yellow card count as a point. A yellow red stands for 3 points. This is off Transfer Market. And red card is 5 points. It has slowly ticked up over the last few years. Within regard to the number of points that teams are getting, or sorry, that the league is getting, and some of them are absolutely insane. Like in 2022, there were 683 points. So that's the 10 teams in the division, between yellow cards and red cards and yellow reds. It was 683 in 2022. In 2023, it went up to over 1,000 points, which is absolutely insane. How does a thing go, you know, increase by 170%, whatever it is? Do you know what I'm saying? 180%. Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
Why do you think that is?
Oh, but... Well, we've seen it, and we've often hinted at, like, we'll say, some of the stuff that refs are doing, it's like turning into a non-contact sport. So if the default position is on, you can't touch anybody, well, anytime you do anything, it's turned into everything's yellow card. But like, it is bizarre that, we'll say, to go from 600 and whatever points in 2022, and then over 1,000 the following year. Is insane. And it was very close to the same last season, 937 points. And I think for this season so far, it's already in 740 points. And we have another nearly whole round of games to go. Like, the way this is going, you know, you think back to UCD got into Europe because of the fair play rule. We're going to be booted out of Europe with the way this is going on. Like, you know, it's absolutely insane. Like, and I know... we interviewed a referee previously.
We've had a couple on. We've had a couple of refs on. We had Graham Kelly. We had Alan Kelly as well, his brother.
I would love to hear.
I think we had Paul too as well. Yeah.
We did. Maybe you might get into Graham Kelly's ear and ask him about that, because it's not right. I don't see how this is possible. Like,
we know that there's a number of match officials that listen to this pod, so if they want to reach out to us off the record, then we would love to hear it.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely, yeah, Jesus, yeah, we'll be there in Tala on Sunday, and I'll be down in Kerry the following week. So just please let it, you know, I'm big curly headed fuck, so come up to me and tell me, Jesus, what's going on, because I couldn't believe it, because all I was doing was looking to see like what Kerry's you know, the vibe that I had was like Kerry were very
dirty,
and would have featured heavily in the cards, fair play table or whatever you want to call it. And then to see that the number of points, and then to do a comparison, like, it's absolutely insane stuff. Yeah. You know, it's I don't know how it's like that. Like, especially like from 2019, like, the game hasn't changed that much in that number of time or that length of time. And it was actually consistent enough. If you go in 2018 was 559, 2019 was 524. And just for the crack, 2017 did have 8 clubs, but it was 474. So we're always in and around, you know what I mean? Like, it was like
500, low 500.
Yeah, but let's say if we call it 500-600, and then when it was 8 teams, it was 450. That makes sense in your brain. Now we're going regularly around 1,000. The game, it hasn't changed that much.
And that's not even including the card for coaches.
No. So, like, I don't know what's going on here, but, like, the games haven't got that dirty. Do you know what I mean? Like, we seem to be saying, particularly, you know, when I'm bitching about refs on the stream, we just always go to, that game wasn't that bad.
No.
Tackle-wise. And you look down, and there's just, like, 14 red, yellow cards. Like, when did that happen?
FAI should be one of the richest organisations in the country.
Yeah, well, just... That'd be a bad thing, really. Jesus, imagine if they had money.
Anyway, UCD won Wexford nil. There was a red card in this game as well, but UCD pick up another win.
Yeah, another one on their travels, or not on their travels, but
at home. Yeah,
on their road to
playoffs.
On the road to the playoffs. I wouldn't look a bag into this, to be quite honest. I just don't anything got to do with Wexford. I'm not really surprised by they're definitely
good to UCD winning at home, because as I said, their home record has actually been very, very poor this season. So
yeah, but it's no real surprise either.
No, but if they can start picking up wins at home, then they'll be comfortably inside them playoff places. Bray Wanderers nil Cove 2. This is probably the big game of the entire weekend. It looks like Bray are out of the equation now.
Yeah.
After all our talk and hype.
After all our floating around. Yeah, it's...
Maybe we did that deliberately.
No, but like... I think there's a... It's split off now. And even... It's... You know, there's what? 9 games left, excuse me. And I know Cove and Dundalk have to play each other. What was it, last game of the season that everybody's mouthing about? I just think Dundalk would have enough, even if it gets down to that.
I think I said it last week, all Cove need to do is keep it within 3. Mm-hmm. But now Dundalk's goal difference given a huge boost by beating Athlone 6-1. So that could be very important in the end.
Yeah, but that was only one game, and I'm sure Cove have to play Athlone again. I might fill them in another time. So there's only 5 goals in the difference between those two. Obviously, Cove have had a nice little run starting off against Longford on the bank holiday weekend, but they followed up. They put 4 past Wexford and put 2 past Bray. So like, they're ticking over nicely. Mm-hmm. 2 clean sheets in a row as well. So it's not over yet, but I think when it comes to the crunch, and let's say we're talking about that game, right, that, you know, that's coming up at the weekend, I think Dundalk could have enough, even if it goes down to 1 or 2 points.
On Dundalk, 6-1 against Athlone. I watched the start of this game the other night, and Athlone literally scored with their first attack. They were under pressure early on, and next thing, they got a lovely breakaway goal and scored. And then Dundalk quickly enough equalised and went 2-1 up. And once they went 2-1 up, I turned it off, to be honest. But I was talking to a lot of Dundalk fans that were actually at the game. I was reading a lot of comments online, and a lot of people were saying, I don't know how this ended 6-1. Athlone are actually not that bad, particularly going forward. But like, we've been saying that probably for 2 years solid about Athlone. You know, they've got players that can hurt you. Tete in particular, the little bit I watched was very impressive again. But defensively, I mean, there's one goal in particular. I'm not out of the 6. I don't know where in what order it was, but... Kyle O'Connor's carrying the ball out from fullback position, gets his pocket picked, and they're just all over the place. But I think I've seen that sort of goal. It must have happened 10 times this season where players are carrying the ball out of defence, getting their pocket picked, and everyone's just scattered. And next thing you're in at them.
Yeah, but that'd be a description that you give to Athlone, not just in that case, but like they've been scattered the whole bloody season. Like,
look at the table. Who do you think you are? Why are you trying to run the ball out of your own box against Dundalk in that situation? It's crazy. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, but that, like, you've hit the nail on the head already. Like, why are you doing this? What are you hoping to achieve here? You know, there's no virtue in playing the right way, but no. Getting filled in 6-1. Like, what's the point? I don't get it. But look, is anybody surprised that a result like this was turned out? No.
Even like the amount of players that have come and left in the last couple of weeks, it's just like a revolving door, and that can't be helpful. And I don't know the chap's name actually, but a lot of the Dundalk fans were talking about the centre half that was took off at halftime. I think Dylan Hand came on from, and they were saying, geez, they actually felt sorry for the lad. It was like he had never seen a football before. So that's not encouraging, that there's players that clearly aren't up to the level. You know, we're into August now, and there's still players getting out onto the pitch for Athlone that are nowhere near the level, nowhere ready to play at this level. So
why are you still in hand on the bench?
Season's just it's a complete write off. Even the goalkeeper, I mean, some of the goals he conceded the other night too were poor. Like,
yeah.
It's just a complete shambles from top to bottom.
It is. 100%.
Right, that brings us into the BTS Predictions League. Obviously, it's FAI Cup weekend, so we're going to include all the cup games this weekend. There's only 8 of them. So we'll start with an all Premier Division tie, a Munster derby, Cork City against Waterford.
Great opportunity for Waterford. I think they will have enough. Cork need to concentrate on the league and could do without this distraction. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, great to have the cup and, you know, give you a break.
Well, we said earlier they're brown bread in the league anyway, so they might as well go all out.
Yeah, but they can't think that. Me and you can think that.
They've got a little bit of momentum up the last few weeks too. Is it better just to try and keep rolling?
No, I wouldn't. For me, I'd be like, keep the lads that you've managed to keep in and not let go in the window healthy and fit. And hope it just everybody gets through the game safe enough, and doesn't matter if they win or lose. They have to concentrate on the league because, yeah, I said it's terminal, but they can't think like that. I can. So
what are you going here?
2-0 to Waterford.
You're going 2-0 to Waterford. I should say that our player this week is Sean Kennedy, and I'm just trying to find his Twitter profile here because he's got a very interesting blend of teams that he supports. If you thought I was
bad, like yourself, yeah.
If you thought I was bad, now let me just see where he is. Let me find him here. And by the way, you would have seen the tweet, Gaz, the Predictions League. The bottom tie was Shamrock Rovers against the big club. And anyone that replied with the big club, they were entered into the draw to come on the Predictions League. Anyone that changed it to Longford or anything else, nah, don't want to hear from you. Here's Sean now. So Sean. Tipperary Hurling, Westmeath Football, Shamrock Rovers and Spurs.
Tip Hurling?
Yeah.
Westmeath Football. Year.
Rovers? Year. Rovers and Spurs.
Right. What a mix.
Yeah. What a mix. Right. He's going 2-1 to Waterford here, of course. A tip man. Yeah. You know, he can't go for Cork. Already filled them in the Hurling. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, geez, that leaves me.
Yeah, thank you.
So busy hosting this podcast. Haven't been that impressed with Waterford recently, to be honest. It's probably not going to be a classic. This.
Oh, we know that.
Podjamin will nip in with a goal somewhere. 1-0, and Podjamin to score the goal.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Finn Harps against Bray.
I think the pressure's off Bray now.
Yeah.
You know, they did a bit of dancing with getting into
title race.
Title race didn't work out. They should have plenty for Finn Harps. I'm gonna.
It's been improving gradually.
Yeah, and actually, they took the 90 something minute equalizer there to get that draw a few weeks ago.
Yep.
One one normal time.
Yep.
Bray on pens.
Okay. Sean going 3-1 to Bray here. I'm going to go again for another. I'm going to go 0-0.
Right.
And I'm going to follow you. Finn Harps on. Oh, you've gone Bray penalties. I'm going to go Finn Harps. Okay. Finn Harps penalties. We had Enda Curran on a couple of weeks ago talking about this all Galway tie, Salt Hill against Galway, Enda now with Salt Hill, a former Galway player. If you didn't get listening to that interview, do go back a few episodes and you can have a listen to it. But yeah, this one taking place at Eamon DC Park. So it's a bit like that Bowes Colester game from the previous round where the home advantage was flipped. But any chance here for Salt Hill?
I think they'll fancy their chances to a degree. I can't remember the last night. Oh, it's that bloody Pats game. Jesus, God, we win a game, so I don't have to think about that last one. They can't do it. So I'm going to go for 3-0 win to Galway.
You're going 3-0, okay.
Oh, sorry, 3-1. And ended the score for Salt Hill.
Ended the score, okay.
That's 50 bonus points right there.
Sean's going 2-1 to Galway, and I'm going to follow, and I also think Enda will get on the score sheet.
Lovely stuff.
Go on, Enda. Bowes against Sligo. This will be an interesting tie.
Bowes have gotten into a few finals, won none of them.
Bowsy.
Yeah, I think they'll keep the dream going for the moment. I'm going to go for 2-1 to Bowes.
Yeah, Sligo's little purple patch has just ended, but I wonder if they might bounce back here. Another team with good cup history.
Yes.
Sean's going 2-1 to Sligo.
Don't see it. I think Bowes are just...
They weren't fantastic in Oriel in the previous round. I'm going to go 2-2 in normal time, and I'm going to go Bowes on pens.
Okay.
Kerry against Cove. These met last year in the Cup. I think it was a round earlier, and it was Kerry that came through, or could have been two seasons ago. They've got a good record in the Cup, Kerry, actually, since in their short time in the competition. Any chance? Will they keep 11 on the pitch?
Oh, that'll be an achievement in itself. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Cove.
How seriously did Cove approach this?
I don't think they give a shit either way, because they're just cooking at the minute. So I'm going to stick with that. Whether they make it serious or not, I think they'll just have too much for Kerry.
Okay, Sean's going 2-1 to Kerry. I'm going to go for another draw in normal time, 1-1, and Cove to progress in extra time.
Fair enough.
Then we have Derry against Drogs, which is the live game on RTE. Remember those guys? They're showing a game. this should be a good game, actually. And I think I fancy Drogheda.
Yeah, so do I. I think particularly with Drogheda looking at Derry, you know,
filling the togs,
strangling themselves to a nil-all draw against Cork. They'll just have to go, right, boys? Look, we have to go down this road again. We need to get Europe. This is the best way to do it. For Drogheda, I see going to extra time. And you know, I see in my mind's eye, I see Luke Dennison making a couple of good penalty saves. It's like I've dreamed about it. It's like I'm Luke Dennison. Yeah, I'm dreaming about it all week. I'm going to go nil all in normal time, nil all in extra time, and Drogs on pens.
Drogs on pens, okay. Definitely worth a few bonus points if that happens. Yeah. Sean Kennedy 2-1 to Drogheda, and I am going to go 1-0 in normal time to Drogheda. It'll be a bit like the Bowes game.
Fair enough.
Late winner for Drogheda in this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down here. 85 plus for the winner. So I get a bonus point if that happens. Patsy, I'm really, really clutching for these bonus points.
Yeah, actually, better
update the listeners on the league table, actually.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They'll soon learn why I'm clutching for these bonus points. So bad week across the board last week. It was Anthony Quinn, our sponsor, Quinn AV, that played last week. And he texted me during the week and he was like, oh, bad week. And I just did the results earlier before we started recording. So he got 5 points. I got 5 points. You got 4 points. So bad week across the board. That leaves me on 134 points, bottom of the table. You're second on 142, and the listeners are on 163. So you're 21 points behind them, guys.
Mm.
Pats against Shells.
Shells.
Pats coming back from Turkey, of course.
Well, that's part of my thinking. And it'll be a tough night out there.
I'm like you, I'm not convinced by Pats.
No.
Do you remember before our last pod before the mid-season break and the pod after the mid-season break, we were talking about what teams might kick on. I was saying a lot of people just have this expectation. The summer has arrived, Europe's arrived, Pats will do what they did last year. And I said, I don't see that happening. I don't think you can just click a switch after playing so flat all year. And they scraped through against the Estonian team. They took a pacing off Besiktas. Now, I won't read anything into that. Besiktas are on a completely different level to anyone in this country. They would have done the same to Rovers, but I just don't see a whole pile about this Pats team this season. So, Shells to advance in one way or another for me, I think.
Yeah, I think they'd do it in extra time.
Okay, go on.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Shells in extra time.
So 0-0 and then 1-0 extra time. Okay. I'm going to go 1-1 in the 90 and Shells 2-1 after extra time.
Great.
And Sean is the only man sticking with Pats. He goes 2-1 to the Saints. That brings us to Rovers against the big club, Longford Town FC.
Yeah.
Who have won more FAI Cups in the last 20 years than Shamrock Rovers.
What? No, we haven't.
What was that thing Fitzy said in earlier? There we have.
Just last 25 years.
25 years, yeah. There you go.
You said 20. We've only won it twice.
My point stands.
Yeah. I think Longford Town...
have no chance.
Well, that's false. I think... last time we got anything... Was that League Cup game up in Tala, wasn't it?
That was a great night.
Yeah, it was a great night.
That was the night we all thought Bradley was cooked.
That was the same week as the...
Remember a pundit on telly told them the players should hand their wages back?
Yeah, Fabio.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah. It was Fabio.
Then we went up there and bet them and then we were all chanting sacked in the morning. I genuinely thought he's gone in the morning.
I thought the same because it was a great old spat with him and Bulger on Twitter, if you remember.
Yeah. Good times.
It's not working out. Isn't
that the banner? Just, Daniel
O'Reilly
with a banger of a goal too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
flicked it over the shoulder, didn't he, and volleyed it in. I think
something like that.
Or maybe that was at home to COVID. It was a good goal anyway. But look, Rovers obviously play Thursday. Be all focused on that. It will be their reserves out, but their reserves put four past Wexford in the previous round. There's no reason they can't do the same here to Longford.
Yeah, look, it'll be I'll tell you one thing, if Longford Town come out of this, it'll be what?
Nothing.
Go on.
I was just thinking of Fitzy, what he said during the week. if we win, I'll have to be escorted out of town.
Yeah, right. Look, I think it's a huge challenge for Longford Town. An understatement.
Right, that's the insight I pay you for.
Yeah. But look, why not? Well, like there hasn't been
just give us your beefed up Longford Town prediction and move on. Come on.
Let me finish. Let me have my bit, will you? There hasn't been an upset, and I think Longford Town can provide one. Dara Murta get two.
Just the two, yeah?
Just the two. Oh. Aaron Doran chipping in with a penalty.
Is this across the next 10 years he envisions these goals?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a very difficult task run for Town. But I'm going to say Town on pens.
What's the score in 90?
Nil-nil after extra time.
Pens.
Yeah.
Fantastic. 4-0 Shamrock Rovers for me. Sean Kennedy, 3-0 to the Hoops. Right, that brings us to the BTS hotline. Let's have a look at what we've got for you this week. And we will kick it off this week with... Yeah, we read the comment from Pat about the kebabs. We'll try and improve on that, Pat. Zaki, Barcelona and Villarreal set to play each other in a La Liga game in Miami. Should Longford Town look to play at loan in the Bernabeu? What do you make on that? I know it's not a League of Ireland subject, but I'd imagine you're like me and think that's just...
I think it's the greatest load of bollocks and it should never be allowed to happen. I don't give a shite who pays what for it. Unfortunately, though, it's the way the thing is going. And people, you know, that's what happens and that's what's going to continue happening when you don't take care of your own league. You know, it doesn't really matter, like, you know, if Liverpool go off and play a game out in Qatar, you know, that matters nothing to anybody in Ireland because they'll be watching it on the telly either way. So, like, I actually don't care. And I'm not trying to be a martyr for all the local people that are still going to games, but I think the idea of it is a sham. And I know everybody, you know, likes to bleat on about the NFL doing games around the place. But that's different. You can move your team to...
I was going to say a franchise. Yeah, moved them,
yeah. It doesn't matter a shite to them. I think it's disrespectful to the fans, yeah, to be quite honest. Totally. Like, if I was a season ticket holder and a game like that was... Well, you know, I couldn't go to a game because it was going to be played for a heap of money somewhere else, I'd want double me season ticket back, at least. I think it's a disgrace and totally disrespectful to the fans.
Yeah. Anna, who's an at-loan fan, do you know much about Stephen Gray? Is that a good appointment? You would probably know more than I do. So for anyone that missed this, Stephen Gray has been appointed as the CEO of Athlone Town. I don't know much about Stephen personally. I know he was at Shamrock Rovers before, but I did notice that when Athlone announced it, the comments were full of Rovers fans saying that it's a brilliant appointment. So he obviously comes highly regarded. I just think for Athlone to be making an appointment like that, it can only be a good thing.
Honest to God, I think it is a good thing. As you say, I'd be similar. I don't know nothing about him. So I think, though, from your interview with Nick a few weeks ago, he definitely needed someone on the ground.
Yeah.
From what he was saying and the kind of feeling I was getting from him was, he's not coming here to Athlone, you know, to be sweeping up the stadium on a Monday morning. Like, it's not like that. So, like, he needed someone that he could trust, someone that he could probably let do his thing at the same time. So to have someone with this that was previously involved with Shamrock Rovers sounds like a good appointment.
Yeah, definitely. David Reelhan, very professional display by Longford Town on Saturday. It's always bittersweet. It's always bittersweet beating Treaty. On one hand, it's nice to get 3 points, but feel bad for Ciara McCormick, who will no doubt have to contend with another protest. And on that, Daniel Shields says, DEFCON 2.
Yeah, well, they're always in a state of DEFCON. State of readiness, I think the phrase is.
Yeah.
I think there's plenty of criticism that's legitimate that could be given.
That's what I mean about the limiting of comments. Like, you know, you have to take the legitimate stuff.
You have to take the legitimate stuff. But you know, I suppose we hear a lot of anecdotes and some stories and stuff like that. So I suppose it's not...
just on that. Actually, I just went on the Treaty United Twitter to see whether the comments are still turned off, and they are. But Tommy Barrett is doing a Q&A session on this Saturday coming after a men's under 15 game. All are welcome, so that could be interesting, but that's probably good to see.
Oh, but Tommy's in the hole of his health for that.
I think we've got one more comment. Let me just get back to the hotline here. And it comes from Christy Ryan. Super display by Ramblers and Bray. Nobody gave them a chance. Luca Laberve was outstanding. Yeah, good young player that seems to be doing well. So
yeah, you were fond of him when he played up in Longford there a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I'll give him a few positive mentions on the comms. All right. Yeah. So. Look, that is this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. That was Series 9, Episode 26. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. I wanted to thank Gary in particular. He's been in flying form tonight. I think he's really livened up the pod. So thanks very much, guys, for your contributions as ever. But for this week, from myself, Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, and from our sponsors, Quinn AV, check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. Until next week, thanks for tuning in, and we will speak to you then about Longford Town's great win against Shamrock Rovers in Tala on Sunday.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.